Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed, and of course, Thursday means Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. And our author today, Chris Salcedo. If you ever happen to be driving through the Houston or Dallas-Fort Worth area, hear him over the airwaves there. Also seen him on Newsmax TV as well as numerous other locations. And his book is The Rise of the Liberty-Loving Latino, A New American Revolution. And I got to tell you, the first thing I noticed is that it wasn't titled The Rise of the Liberty-Loving Latinx. So that was quite shocking.
Yes. And there's actually a section in the book we dedicate to the absurdity of all of that. And if you want to get into it, we can. But there's a larger reason why I believe the rise of the liberty-loving Latino translated into the election of President Donald J. Trump in record numbers for the America First Coalition. And it was because of terms like Latinx. Mm. It was because of the Democrat Party had basically lost its mind, saying that little Johnny can be little Susie can be little Johnny.
Right.
The best woman for the job is a man in women's sports, or of course, men can have babies. Latinos said, wow, that's crazy. And so let's have a look at what's going on the other side. And thank God there was President Trump there and not like Mitch McConnell being the standard bearer for the Republican Party or Paul Ryan or some of these individuals who are your standard surrender caucus Republicans. Thank goodness we had somebody like President Trump that gave Latinos a place to go.
Well, you mentioned that, and I think back to that period of time when he was first running, and one of the strongest voices in the we'll lose all Hispanic support forever was Jeb Bush, and he'd speak Spanish every once in a while. And that there was that universal message that any inroads we've made as a Republican Party with the Hispanic voter is going to be completely obliterated under Donald Trump. And it's just such an amazing thing to see that not only did that not happen, but the tremendous progress that has been made.
Right. And I think it's so interesting you pointed out the Bushes, the surrender caucus type Republicans who have more in common with socialists and Marxists than they do with American conservatives. These individuals, think about what Jeb Bush and George W. Bush were saying. We need to appeal to Latinos because everybody knows that Latinos believe in lawlessness and don't like the Constitution and like illegal immigration. Talk about a racist point of view to assume that all Latinos are represented by what I call loudmouth leftist Latinos and not liberty-loving Latinos who are just as conservative, just love America just as much as anybody else does who is pro-American and part of the America First Coalition. The assumptions made, I think, by those who had other interests, more maybe corporate interests, not necessarily American interests, by Republicans like the Bushes, are indicative of why Trump has been such a success, because he's drawing that contrast that I think that Americans are looking for.
We are talking with Chris Salcedo, the book, The Rise of the Liberty-Loving Latino, A New American Revolution. I'm not one that throws around the racist label that often. I think it gets overused so largely. But I got to tell you, I'm just curious your thoughts on this. During the entire illegal immigration debate, which really started during the first Trump administration, or even, I guess, as he was running for president the first time around, you would hear people on the left openly say things along the lines of, who's going to take out your trash, Donald Trump? If you deport illegals, who are going to clean your toilets? And I remember thinking genuinely, damn, that's racist. blows my mind. And the fact that you can tell the times that they have said it, they so genuinely meant it, to me, that I think that is an instance where the term racist is accurately applied.
Indeed. And you know, when we started listening to this whole debate about whether or not we as a country should accept, and by the way, we're still having the debate, accept illegal immigration. And this is something I brought up out of the book, and it's a mantra of the Salcedo Show, is illegal immigration is wrong. Illegal immigration is immoral, and illegal immigration is bad for any nation forced to endure it by its political class. I point out quite frequently that illegal immigration has been foisted on this country against the will of the American people by both political parties, for different reasons, but by both political parties. And the very predicate that you can't stand up for the rule of law because you believe doing so is somehow racist. And I always ask this of Democrats who say, well, the reason why you don't want illegal aliens in the country is because you're a racist. And I go, oh, really? So why don't you as a Democrat tell me what race you think illegal is? What race do you think is illegal? And they're, of course, stumped because, of course, leftists in the society never have to take a tough question from the biased press or from non-conservative Republicans.
Well, let me ask you this. There's an equation here, it seems like, and you talked about here in the opening, the Latino community recognizing the insanity of the left because of Latinx and boys can be girls and so forth. And then at the same time, you've got Donald Trump in there speaking common sense. If things stay on the exact same track that they are, does that keep the support within that community about where it is? Will it continue to move to the right, if you will? Or does something else need to happen? Because it seems as if there's a holding pattern maybe here. Don't really know which way things are going and what needs to occur to keep the momentum in the direction that it's headed. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, it does. And the big problem we're going to have in 2026 is President Trump's not on the ballot.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the Republicans have set their mind on, I mean, can you tell me a list of achievements of the Republican Party since they've been in the majority in Congress? I mean, running on the big, beautiful bill. I mean, okay, you can go ahead and try that.
Yeah.
But the lack of productivity from the Republican Party, this is a danger. They're putting the entire country in danger with their deference. And frankly, they're glad handing with Democrats. And it's not like the Democrats have been behaving like Americans. They've been weaponizing the entirety of government against Republicans. They've been weaponizing that they went after the entirety of the Republican establishment with Arctic Frost. They went after the leading candidate for the Republican nomination for president with just an insane lawfare. And it's not like the Democrats are benign or it's like, oh, man, we just have this disagreement on this or that particular issue. They went full-bore Marxist on this country. And they targeted the Republicans themselves, and the Republicans still won't defend themselves. And I've asked, and I get applauded in some areas and criticized in others. I've asked Republicans, why are we supposed to vote for you when, number one, you failed to defend us from Democrats, but you won't even defend yourselves?
We are talking with our author of the week, Chris Salcedo. The book is The Rise of the Liberty-Loving Latino, A New American Revolution. There almost seems to be, and continuing on this theme of the midterm elections, a race to lose potentially, you noting the lack of real potential effective messaging by Republicans. The Democrats almost seem to level out instead of stupidity. But now I'm watching this sometimes real physical divide occurring in some of our cities. On one side, you have white liberals, and on the other side, you have people who are from countries like Venezuela and Nicaragua. And they are all celebrating the arrest of a dictator. And then they're watching the Democrat Party criticize it. They're watching many on the left actually defend and support the dictator that so many of them fled. And I'm thinking to myself, the Democrats are seemingly saying, hold my beer, when it comes to figuring out a way to further alienate this segment of the population. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, that goes to also your previous question as well, is how do you keep the enthusiasm in the Latino community going for President Trump? Now, granted, nobody's going to accuse President Trump of not working for the American people. That that goes to Congress. They are the ones not working for us. But yeah, on this Maduro thing, you're absolutely correct. I mean, you had Ana Navarro, one of the most staunch critics of President Trump, jumping out on The View and saying, look, this was a good thing. You know, this, and think about what the Democrat Party has done, what these leftists and these Marxists have done. They have gone from just a little over 2.5 months ago saying, no kings, no kings, to saying, free the dictator, free the socialist dictator. I mean, these people, you're right that as President Trump does everything he can and the Republicans seem hell-bent on losing the midterms, you're right. The Democrats are, with a hold-my-beer posture, they keep on taking these 20% issues on 80-20. They take the 20% side, and to the Democrats, I say, keep it up. Keep it up. Your anti-Americanism, your hatred of this country and of this president might just drag the Republicans kicking and screaming across the finish line in 2026.
I'm pretty logical person, not one driven by emotion. And you talk about Ana Navarro, and on Tuesday we played audio of that. And then I also played audio of a gal in our way south of our listening area, but in Arkansas, Little Rock, and the local TV affiliate talked with an Arkansas resident who's from Venezuela. And what I've noticed, grassroots, you have a lot of these people that are sending a message about what's really going on. And to me, this is in response to what they see on the left of defending dictatorships and acting like Donald Trump is a dictator. And it really does get me to start wading into the emotional when and we played the audio of the woman who resides in Arkansas now saying, listen, you don't know, I've had friends disappear in Venezuela, really truly disappear because they speak out. I've had friends that have gone from, you know, middle income to digging through garbage to try and find food. And, you know, she gets emotional talking about hoping that she can get back to her home now and hug her family that she hasn't been able to. And I think to myself, the audacity of people in this country who live these middle-class lives to claim that Trump is a dictator in the face of real, true victims of dictatorship, it's just inhumane, and it gets me angry.
It should. It should. And think about the sides of this debate on Maduro, right? Who is supporting this action by President Trump? Which, by the way, to all the people out there saying, he's going to get us into a war. We're going to war in Venezuela. I kept on saying, no, we're not going to war in Venezuela. If there's any shooting that's done, it's going to be short. And guess what? Mm. It was. And he decapitated the head of the socialist snake in hats off to our military with a flawless, flawless execution. They landed in the middle of a military base in Venezuela, the biggest one. And they pulled this off with Cuban security forces firing at them, no casualties on our side, and took out 32 of theirs, from what I understand. Anyway, so you've got on one side, real Americans, freedom lovers, and those who yearn to breathe free, applauding the fall of Nicolas Maduro. On the other side, you've got communist China. You've got leftists in the capitals all over Central and South America. And you've got the Democrat Party bashing President Trump and the fall of Maduro. I've always said there is a new political divide in this country. It's America first and America last. And there are members of both political parties on both sides of that new dividing line. And I think that this anger that you're feeling is going to be one of the defining issues coming into 2026. Just where are you? Are you an American or aren't you? And I think a lot of Americans are going to be looking, real Americans are going to be looking at the Democrat Party and asking that serious question, members of the Democrat Party, hey, are you really an American? Because, and this didn't get noticed by anybody other than me, or maybe if it did, I just haven't heard about it. But did you notice Chuck Schumer, I think he was on with Snuffleupagus. I think it was either that or, no, it must have been with Snuffleupagus. So he's talking with Snuffleupagus, and George Snuffleupagus says, hey, Rubio says the United States has the authority to do it. And Chuck Schumer says, no, they don't. As if He's right. not an American.
Right. Yeah.
And I have been saying the Democrat Party no longer wishes to be American. They've set their sight on the Constitution of its shredding and its erasure from being effective in our lives. And there's Chuck Schumer validating everything I've ever said as he refers to us Americans as they, as yeah. he doesn't count himself among us.
Naturally and without thinking, which it's very, very yes. telling. Chris Salcedo, yep. I mentioned for the listeners, of course, they could hear you over the airwaves, Houston, Dallas-Fort Worth, Newsmax TV, but also you've got the Salcedo Storm podcast as well, so people can download that the normal places if they'd like.
Yeah, sure. Head over to ChrisSalcedo.com. That's kind of the one-stop shop for everything.
Okay.
Chris Salcedo, S-A-L-C-E-D-O.com. And, of course, if you pick up the new book, folks, The Rise of the Liberty-Loving Latino, every book that is purchased, an angel gets his or her wings. So come on, do your bit for king and country.
Thank you, sir. Hey, listen, I really appreciate it. I know how busy you are, and I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning.
Really enjoy the conversation. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Of course, our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. For Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.